Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, angel. Amen. Would like to announce that Orlando Herndon, don't tell him, but we're going to have a birthday party for him here at the church. Don't tell him now. I think it might be a surprise. Orlando Herndon, 90th birthday is going to be on Saturday, February the 8th. You will need to RSVP, and you have to do that before January the 30th, and you can call Ms. T. Barksdale. And she will sign you up. I think she'll be at table out there in church, okay? So please sign up for that, encourage him, and be a blessing on his 90th birthday. Amen? Amen. Thank the Lord for all that he is doing. Amen. Well, we're going to be in the book of Daniel for a couple of weeks here. So I want you to turn there. Yeah, like that. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. That's right along with my message today. Amen. Right along with the message. I'm going to be selecting verses from Daniel chapter 1. Our key verse is, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and the wine from the king's table. And he asked permission of the chief eunuch to not defile himself in this way." Somebody say amen to that. Amen. It's good when you're a young person and don't want to get messed up by the world, because you can get messed up in a hurry. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 17, we pick up where it says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king in the king's service." Verse 20, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to just share with you a thought today behind enemy lines. Behind enemy lines. You may be seated. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for your grace that's brought us here. Pray that, Lord, we would be able to reflect on your mercy and kindness, that we too would resolve in our heart that we're going to obey your word. We're going to follow what you've given us. And Lord, we ask that you would guide us now in the sharing of your word, that it might be a benefit to our heart and strength to our soul. Lord, change us by what we hear, and indeed change us for the good. We humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Daniel and his friends found themselves in not only a strange place, but a hostile environment, a hostile place. They weren't sure what tomorrow would bring, but they knew the one that brought tomorrow, and that was God. Sometimes you will find yourself, if not this year, you will find it in your life that you're encountering some difficulty, encountering some trial, encountering some storm that is unfriendly that is threatening to you, that is bringing you to a place now where you're wondering, how is it going to turn out? I'm sure that they had questions in their mind. What is tomorrow going to bring? What are we going to do about our next meal? How are we going to survive in such an environment in which we're living? They had been snatched away or taken captives away from their homeland in Judah and in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, brought to a strange place. Look at somebody, tell them a strange place. Some of you are now in a strange place. You checked in December and everything was all right, but now it's January and something in your finances has gone terribly awry. Everybody says strange place. Your doctor had a good report 6 weeks ago, but this week he or she have hung their heads and say, I've got some news for you, and it's not all good. You've got a condition. Strange place. Doesn't take you long to get there. Doesn't take you long to start asking questions like, God, why? Why now? And why me? It goes through all of our minds. And I've learned that the only way that you can get answers is that you got to ask questions. You got to know where your help comes from. But in such a hostile environment, these three found themselves. The culture was one that was totally different. They had many gods all around them. At any time, they were encouraged, serve these gods because these are the king's gods. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said to themselves, we are not going to go along just to get along. We are not going to just give in to the pressure that's all around us. Our friends might be doing it. Our neighbors might be doing it. But no, we're going to draw the line. We're not going to cross that line because God has been too good to us. We're in a strange place, but he knows all about it. God knows what you're going through, and he can help you in your time of need. That strange place. As we look at some things today, you would are probably asking yourself, why does God do that? Why does he put us in these odd situations and circumstances? Why does he bring about such difficulty in our life? He knows how fragile we are. He knows that we break easily and take a long time to heal. Strange place. Strange place. Hardships and devastations. They had watched their loved ones being executed right before their eyes. And that long march to Babylon, they didn't have a train or a coach or anything to ride in. They didn't have a chariot. They had to walk all the way from their homeland to this new place. But that's when things began to change. I want to tell you today that 2025 is not a threat to you unless you take it that way. 2025 will not be a year of tragedy unless you take it that way. Can I go on and tell you? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you've got enough courage to praise God under every circumstance, everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. What do you do when you're in the presence of your enemies? Three things that I think we ought to put on our agenda, our spiritual agenda. One is to not throw up both your hands. One is to discover God's presence. Did you not know that the Lord of the universe is everywhere? It's called omnipresent. Look it up. That means he's everywhere at all times, which means help is available if I need help. That means that God is right there. One of the assumptions that the Jewish people had in their mind, since he is the God of Israel, he only lives in Israel. They built him a temple. And they said, the Lord dwells here. A lot of times in our churches, we like to think that God is only here at the church. But what if you need him on the highway? What if you need him downtown or uptown? What if you need him in the hospital room? What if you need him in a courtroom? What if you need him when you're down and out? What if you need God and he's only here? That means you got to come here, but I got good news for you. God is everywhere. And he's available at all times. Yeah. He has on-call hours anytime you need him. But they would learn the second thing, and that is that we witness God's power when we have great threats going on in our life. Easy stuff, we say, I can do it. Or we might use the words, I got this. But when the load gets heavy, when the burden gets to the place where you can no longer bear it, you've got to call on the amazing and almighty God to make a way out of no way. Are y'all still here? I know the stuff you're facing right now is a burden to you. I know you wake up in the midnight hour and you're wondering, what am I going to do now? How is this going to work out? What is the morning going to bring? But the same God that brings the morning will bring you a breakthrough. I wish I could shout up here. He knows how much you can bear. Yeah, y'all hurry up and come get these flowers. They about to... I'm sorry, my wife is in here. Okay. Yes, Lord. Yeah, hallelujah, deliverance is on the way. Not only do we discover God's presence and his power, but we also learn something. We learn that even though things might take you by surprise and it might puzzle you as to what your next step is or what your next step will be, God always has a plan. You probably had not planned for 2025 as you should have. You say, oh my God, it's 2025. You're still writing 2024. Flip the page. You're in a new day. It's going to require something new as you think and as you go along. But don't worry. Don't get discouraged. God's got a plan. And that plan is not motivated out of anything else but his perfect love for you. He loved you so much. And he said, now you're going to encounter some things that you are not going to know where to turn and who to turn to. I got a plan. Isn't that giving you a lot of comfort when you start scratching your head and wondering, man, what am I going to do about this? And how am I going to handle this? And what am I going to do? Jesus said, don't worry about it. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own. Focus on right now. Keep your attention on me. I got a plan for you. I'll share a little bit more details of that plan in just a minute. So they found themselves in this particular situation where they're now saying, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, they have been in this selection process. The selection process. The king needed some folks that had some knowledge and understanding and what we might call skill. The world is always in need of people who not just have certain intellect, but those who have been gifted by God. I don't know but one group of people. You're not going to find them just off the street. You're not going to find them, certainly not on Wall Street, unless they know Jesus. You're not going to find them among the billionaires and millionaires. Some of the billionaires and millionaires got it because they cheated us. Hello? Walmart talking about they the place of low prices. No, they the place of rich folk owning. And you pay. Let me flip the page now. I'm meddling. So here are these four. They're saying to themselves, man, they want to give. They took away our names. They took away our humanity. They took away all of these things from them, but they are not going to destroy our faith. I refuse to let anybody steal my joy. I just refuse. So what you understand is that God brought them there for a reason. Can I just give you a couple of things that I find is very critical for us in this day and age in which we're living in? One, God is not limited to that place where you have placed him. That's number one. He moves in mysterious ways. Sometimes you don't even see him, but he's still God. Sometimes you're not able to trace his steps, as one person said, but you can always trust his heart, knowing that he's working all things together for your good. The other thing that you need to realize, that when God takes you out of your comfort zone, he must be preparing you for something greater. He's putting you on faith ground to where you now need to trust him. You got to say, Lord, if you're not with me, I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to be able to survive in these circumstances. So he gives you this certain thing called faith. Believing God. Faith is a weapon to overcome your own unbelief. If you don't know who you are, don't expect the world to tell you who you are. But if you believe and trust in God, he can make a way out of no way. Can he do it? They had to trust him in this strange place. They had to trust him because this was the Lord their God. And we've got to remember that we have been called to be a witness everywhere we go. The main objective of this sermon is to help you understand that you're not limited right now. God has made himself available to you, and all you got to do is take his hand, and walk with him. And watch what God can do in your life, even though you're behind enemy lines. I'm about half finished with my sermon, so y'all can go and shout, as one old preacher said. The other thing that we must keep our focus on is that our mission is critical. Why did God choose you? Say that to yourself. Why did God choose me? Why did he choose me? Why did he create all of these things in my life? I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah, but one of the favorite verses that we quote from Jeremiah 29, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not evil. What you're going through might be bad, but it's not for bad. When a farmer breaks up the field, I'm sure the ground says you're turning everything upside down. But when the farmer finished plants the seed, then he understands it's for the harvest. God's going to bring something out of you that you didn't know you had. God's going to show you some things that he can do through your life that you didn't know you could do. All things are possible. Man, I feel like preaching now to those that believe. You just got to trust him. Grab hold of your faith and say, hold on, we're going to make it, because God is going to take us where we need to go. So it is that Daniel, they brought this food in. It had been dedicated to the idols that the king worshiped. They would take it to their temples and they would offer it as a sacrifice, as many of the Jews were accustomed to these sacrifices. But rather than dedicating it to the true God, they dedicated it to Baal or some other god that they were worshiping. And now people worship money. Money, money means everything. Matter of fact, they've created funny money. Funny money. In the cryptocurrency, backed by nothing but bought by everybody. I stepped on somebody's toe. I'm sorry. It's not real. It only exists in the digital environment, okay? And people bow down to it. Man, you get some crypto. No, I ain't got none. No. They decided that they would not defile themselves with the king's. I like the way they put it in this verse, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now, little did they know that this was a royal order. You must eat the king's food. So how are they going to pull this off? So he came to the chief eunuch, and they asked him, say, hey, you know, we don't really like this diet. We're kosher. We're Jews. We don't like to eat this. And the chief eunuch said, now, not only are you threatening your head, you threatening mine. Because at the end of this period of training, if you don't look good, and if you look like you half starving, the king is going to have my head. I noticed from reading, they never did, as the scripture indicates, get the approval of the chief official. It was the guards. And Daniel said, test us 10 days. Said this to the guard, not the chief official, to the guards. Go back and read it. Go back and read it. It's interesting. So the guards said, you don't want to eat your food? Fine. We got a place for it. And so Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah only ate vegetables. And 10 days later, their countenance, their health was far better than everybody else. Does it say it? Isn't that what it says? He said, what happened to the food? The guards ate it. This food, we're going to eat it. You don't want it? Y'all been ever sitting around. Have you ever sat at the table with people that you don't want your food before you can say, here, have some. It's off your plate, gone. But the good news is God gave them blessing so that even if they had to make it on a plain meal, here's my message to you. You've thought to yourself, if I don't have it in abundance, I'm not going to be able to make it. God is able to take the little bit that you've got and stretch it a long way. Now, if you don't believe it, look at where you used to be. You haven't always had food in the refrigerator. You haven't always had money in the bank account. You haven't always had a luxury car to drive, and you haven't always had these things, but thank God, look how far the Lord has brought you from. Somebody ought to shout in here. And if he did it for you then, what makes you uncertain that he can't do it again? If he brought you through tough times when you didn't even know the Lord, think about what he can do with you right now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you're behind enemy lines, you just can't give up. You got to make sure that you keep your focus on God. I was doing some background research, and the Green Berets, by the way, it's no particular branch of service, but this is a specially trained force, whether it be Army, Marine, Navy, or yes, even Air Force. Air Force had the reconnaissance unit. These were some tough guys. They knew how to survive behind enemy lines. Green Beret, they would go in and they would be able to go undetected where you didn't know they were there. Well, these were some tough guys, and they would make sure that they would either destroy the target or destroy whatever it is that they were sent to assign. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus is not training you as Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Jesus is training you to be a warrior. But he says, I don't want you to just fight with the physical force. I want you to fight the good fight of faith. Rather than you using a weapon to destroy, I'm going to put something in your heart, and I want you to love those that hate you. I want you to pray for those that physically abuse you. I want you to honor me in everything that you do and watch me move in your life. You say, you mean Jesus want us to love our enemy? That's what he said. And he hasn't changed it yet. Now, if he said that, that means you got to love him. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to be setting myself up for failure. No, you're going to set yourself up for victory. It's hard to hate a person that loves you. It's hard for them to even survive. First of all, the first thing that's going to happen, they're going to start giving you respect. Man, that's so-and-so. They're all right. They good. We're in a world filled with hate, and the only thing that can solve that problem is folk that know love need to demonstrate it. Are y'all still with me? But if somebody gets on your nerves, next thing you want to do is drop your religion and fight. I've even said, you know, if the enemy hit me on one cheek, I must not have been looking. I'm going to duck the next time. I've even said that. But when I found out that Jesus will help you to win your battle and you can turn the other cheek because he will give you the strength to do so, you got to trust him. You got to trust him. Let me move on. I'm going to make my couple last points. Love is a weapon. Not only is faith is a weapon, but love is a weapon. The weapon that you use. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God said, I'm going to bring it down, but you got to have love. You got to choose in your heart that you're going to love people and that you're going to do what's best. Why? Because you got the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. I want you to notice that Daniel and his friends had to rely on God's word. Now, they didn't have the bound Bible that you had. They would hear the priest read the scrolls, and they knew something about the word. They knew about Abraham. They knew about Joseph. They knew about all of these that had served before them. They knew about David. And part of their battle strategy was, let's do what they did when they were in their battle. David called upon the Lord. He said, Lord, you're my refuge and my fortress. You're my God, my shield and my buckler. God, you are the one that made me. They knew about Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, ye land. Did you not know that God not only wants you to rejoice when everything is going bad? But the other evening we were in Bible study, and this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You ought to always have a praise in your heart. If you don't have a praise, some enemy has taken over your heart. But when you get that praise, it drives out the enemy. You can give God thanks anywhere you are. Why? Because you know that he's going to take care of you. He brought you this far, and he'll take you on home. Y'all getting glazed eyes. Let me hear him finish preaching now. Sometimes you've got to draw from your knowledge of who has served God before you and be inspired by their life. They said, wait a minute, who else has been in captivity? Joseph. That's right, Joseph. And they thought about Joseph. They thought about how that his brothers had turned against him and it allowed him to be taken as a slave into Egypt. They thought about that. They said, wait a minute. If God did it for Joseph, he can do it for us. Let's see what he did. And they reflected on that, and they encouraged one another. What's happening in many of our churches, rather than us encouraging each other, we're talking about each other. Child, guess what? So this one ain't living right. How you know? You peeping in somebody's window? We're here to encourage each other. We're here to help lift each other up, not bring each other down. Somebody say amen. When you got love as your weapon, you're going to make sure that you're focusing on God's word. So they encouraged themselves. They said to themselves, now God, if he dropped Joseph behind enemy lines in Egypt, and he was only one man, there are four of us. We can make it, fellas. And guess what started happening in their life? They prayed because they got to focus on what they need to pray. God, show us how we can serve. And guess what? They got promoted. Some of y'all getting ready to get messed up in this new administration. You getting ready to get messed up. Here's the reason why. You hating. Ah, look at what doing that. Now do your history. Didn't God take care of you all these other times? It doesn't matter matter who's in the White House. It only matters who's on the throne. I'm really getting ready to mess with you now. They were encouraging themselves about Joseph, how he was behind enemy lines, how he survived. And then all of a sudden they get this letter from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, 29th chapter, he told them some things. First of all, he said, settle down, because it's going to be a long time. False prophets have been telling them, oh, this thing will be over in 2 years. You're going to be back home. And Jeremiah said, don't believe it. It's going to last 70 years. But in that, I still rejoice. You know why? Because trouble don't last always. Can I get a witness here? Jeremiah told him, said, now what I want you to do is build houses, have families, enjoy the community in which you're living. And then he said, pray for the leaders. Uh-oh. What do you mean, pray for them? They took us captive. They killed our loved one. You mean we got to pray for them? And then Jeremiah told him, said, now if you pray for them, if they prosper, you'll prosper. What's going to mess up a whole lot of people is the fact that you hating when you ought to be loving. Here's the reason why. A person who is living a hateful life, God can't tell you nothing. Why? Because he's the God of love. I know y'all mad at me. Got some spiritual stone up there. Throw at him. Throw at him. Number one, you can't change what God has allowed. Why are you fretting yourself? Why are you getting all messed up? Why are you turning on CNN? What are you going to do now? I know I'm getting on y'all nerves. Y'all saying, no, when this sermon going to be over? Looking at the clock. We're going to get ready to get out of here. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Because your help does not come from the government. All of your help. All of your help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Anytime God gets ready, he can tell Donald Trump, you don't run the show, I do. Come on, help me somebody. Anytime God gets ready, he can take down one and put up another. Are y'all in the church today? What I'm telling you is hold on to God's unchanging hand. God ain't finished with you. Fill your heart with love. Begin to pray for folk and say, Lord, use them and bless them, because I know you can, I know you will. After all, remember, God changed your heart. Woo! You're getting rushed in here. I'm trying to help you out. Let me hurry up and skip on to the end here. Let me hurry up and skip on to the end. That's where Jesus told you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what the Lord say. Now, either you're going to do this your way and get through it, or you're going to do it God's way and you're going to triumph. Here's the point. Some of you in this room are going to get promoted. God's going to elevate you. Why? Because you possess a certain knowledge that comes from God. And God used these four in an enemy territory to lead the nation. Did y'all know that hateful people are also dumb? Well, where did they go get their knowledge from? The beginning of wisdom is to love the Lord, right? Am I right? What the Bible said? How are hateful people going to know anything? And they're going to need somebody that does know. And guess who does know? Look at what I said. We know. Y'all say everything I tell you. I'm trying to help you out. So I ain't fighting no more. I'm let the Lord fight my battle. That's I'm going to let the Lord fight it. And if he can't win, I certainly can. Let me help give you some closing points. Here's a closing point. You're not behind enemy territory to destroy the enemy. You're there as a witness of God's kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar never would have found out that God was who he was if Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had compromised their values. All that would have happened, well, we just kind of hanging in there. We're just trying to go along, get along. No. Their attitude, we will not compromise. And you know what started happening? God opened up their mind, and he started pouring in wisdom. Daniel understood dreams and visions. And in order for you to understand a dream and a vision, you got to have one. How in the world is somebody going to know something if they've never experienced? God walked them through it, and God built them up. And as far as Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, God began to tell them, now here's some of the secrets. I'm not going to let anybody else know in all of the kingdom, because when the question comes up, you got the answer. Questions started coming up. And guess who the king turned to? These four. So much so that other people in the kingdom, his other leaders, had started saying, man, we got to do something about these guys, man. They 10 times better than we are. They know more than we are. If you knew the Lord, you knew something. You know something. If you don't know the Lord, you're a dummy. You got to know and understand what his will is. We have been called to be witnesses. And in order to be a witness, you got to know all about what the Lord says. I don't know everything, but I know that God is good. I know that he has a plan and a purpose for all of us. So Jeremiah said, settle down, build houses, maintain your families. What am I saying to our community? Settle down. It's going to be all right. And I tell you that last thing, it's going to be all right. Pray for those in authority. Bring them under God's authority. And say, Lord, they're yours. You deal with them. You show them, and we're going to follow your plan. Is that good? Yeah. That's good. Now, let me give you a couple of things before I close. I'm not going to get into all this. Tactics behind enemy lines. Now, think of yourself as being one of those Green Berets or being the Air Force, Special Forces. You have been sent on a search and rescue mission. Now you got to bring out those who are wounded, those who are hurting. What's the first thing you do? You think and you thank. Thinking will automatically bring you to the place where you're thankful. When you think about God being good to you, you have to raise your hand and say, Lord, thank you. A lot of people that you will meet in this environment, they are not thinking, they are simply reacting. I don't want you to react to situations that go on in your life. If you go to the doctor and he doesn't tell you what you need to hear, hang on, think and thank. Because guess who walked into that doctor's office with you? Matter of fact, he held your hand while they were giving you the news. That simply means it's in the Lord's hand now. Hallelujah, somebody. Not only that, you got to pray and praise. A lot of people can fall on their knees and pray, but can you, in the midst of that prayer, and can you say to yourself, God, you are good and your mercy endures forever? Can you honor him? Matter of fact, the Lord told us to pray and taught us to pray in this manner. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a praise. That's a praise. Then make your request after you praised him, after you thanked him. Think and thank. Pray and praise. Live and love. Love. You can't do it on your own. You got to have the love of Jesus in your heart. What I'm asking you to do is to have compassion. This world is hurting. People who think that everything is all right, they're still hurting, because the very fact that they're reacting in the way that they are is a proof that they don't have love in their heart. Can you do that? God will give you the strength to do it. Then finally, I like this one. Wait and worship. When you're in the waiting room, of time, when you're in the waiting room waiting for things to happen all around you? Are you just going to wring your hands and wait till you, somebody says next? Or are you going to worship? Here's what it says in Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You're behind enemy lines now. And you got to know how to act, how to respond, that'll bring glory to God. I got good news for you. Long time ago, God sent his son into this world, dropped him as a baby behind enemy lines, in a manger, what we might call on the farm a feeding trough, but he came anyway. No room in the inn. And people that should have known about him didn't know him, but he came anyway. That same Jesus grew up, and folk didn't like him. Herod didn't like him because he said, I'm the only king around here. And Jesus came anyway. That's because he was God. Behind enemy lines, you're not the first one. The Lord has been here. He's walked this earth. He knows the situations that you're finding yourself in. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. The devil thought that he could overcome him. He was out in the middle of the wilderness behind enemy lines. Hadn't eaten for 40 days, hadn't drank for 40 days. And the devil thought he could take him. But guess what? Jesus fought him with the word of God. And that's what I'm telling you, you need in your life. If you're behind enemy lines. Some of you are behind enemy lines right now because you're worried about certain things that are going on. Not just in the political realm. You're worried about what am I going to do? I just had a situation that happened. How am I going to handle it? Behind enemy lines, you need to know who your God is. And you got to know who's going to bring you through. If you're behind enemy lines, you wait and you worship. Finally, they took Jesus. And they condemned him to die on a Roman cross. And there he was, stretched between heaven and earth. And they said, we got him now. The devil said, we won. The grave said, I'm going to hold him. And hell had a party for 2 days and a little bit better. Oh, but on that third day morning, somebody said, on that Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, your commander, your Lord and chief, your way maker, your burden bearer, your friend, your overcomer, your Yahweh, Jesus, the Lord of glory, got up from the grave with all power in his hand, still behind enemy lines, and he declared, I am God. Won't he do it, church? Won't he bring you out? Why are you worried? Because you're behind enemy lines. Hold up your head. March behind your commander and watch God give you the victory in your life. Look at somebody, tell him, we win. I know he's good. I said, I know he's good. You just got to trust him. You just got to trust him and watch him make a way. I'm finished preaching. I'm over time now, but I'm finished preaching. I just had to tell y'all that so that you would know that the Lord is good. Bow in prayer. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you. That, Lord, you would speak to their heart and let them know that you're real. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Say this prayer with me together. Almighty God, maker and sustainer of heaven and earth, we give you glory. Thank you for the struggles and the times I've had behind enemy lines. It has helped me to focus on you and not myself. Bless me to be your witness wherever I am. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. I don't feel no waste time. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me. I don't believe he brought me. Said I don't believe. Gonna ask all of our officers to come down. All of our auxiliary leaders. But if there are any that need Christ, if you need the Lord, we want you to come down. We want you to come down. If you're not a member of the church and you want to join, said, I don't believe. I don't believe. Nobody can force me to believe. I don't believe. Oh, I don't believe. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Give the Lord a hand, amen. Some that have come forward today, but y'all come tomorrow. You came to join the church. Amen. Well, God bless you. You came to join the church. Amen. God bless you. The Lord led you here. The Lord led you here for a reason. We're going to get some information on you, but right now, are you all joining by Christian experience? You're coming by letter from your home church, or you just Christian experience. Amen. You mind if I pray with you? All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for these that have come, Lord. We ask that you would just bless them as only you can. God, just continue to shower your grace and mercy as they've come today, walk of faith, trusting, knowing that you're God and knowing that beside you there's none other. Help them now as they make this decision that it'll be fruitful. God, that you'd lead them into greater growth and, Lord, to greater heights in Christ. I thank you. Thank you for your mercy and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So what's your name, man? Betty? Betty Dorsey? Horsley, Betty Horsley. And your name, man?
Frieda Horsley.
Frieda Horsley, amen. Y'all related?
Sisters.
Sisters, all right, sisters coming. So Betty and Frieda Horsley have come today. Christian experience. I know they've been coming for a couple of Sundays, checking us out. That's good. And they've come to join with us. Can we receive a motion to receive them?
And Frieda.
Is there a second? Probably moved and second to receive Betty and Frieda Horsley as members of our church, of our Christian experience. Thank God for them. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
All contrary. Amen. God's having it. God has it. Where I started to say the eyes ever, no, God has it. And we receive them with love, and we thank God for you. We're going to get some information from you. If you could, we're going to have prayer and dedication in just a minute. So I'm going to get you all to fill out that information, and then we're going to give you all the right hand of fellowship right at the close of the service. Is that all right?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Before we have the dedication prayer, I'm going to ask Reverend Ray if he would prepare for that prayer. I want to recognize, just have a moment of silence for some of our officers who are no longer with us, who passed away this year. I want to recognize Deacon Alonzo Walthall Sr. He was memorialized on September the 6th. I want to recognize Trustee Jesse Edward Newby. He was memorialized on November the 27th, 2024. And then we had Deacon Melvin Pollard. He was memorialized a couple of weeks ago on January the 6th. We want to recognize them, and just going to bow in a moment of silence and thank God for the service that they gave both to our church and our community. To ask your attention for just a few minutes as we direct your attention to our dedication. We have new officers in our Sunday school department that we'll be installing and praying for today. Tony Slaughter is our superintendent. Laurie Williams is our assistant superintendent. Joanne Anderson is our secretary, and Shelby Cunningham as the assistant secretary. So we thank God for them. We praise the Lord for all of the other officers that are serving. We know that it's through faith in God that we are able to serve in any capacity. And I'm going to ask that we go through this litany of service as we direct our attention to the screen. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. May we respond. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Officers, respond. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name give glory for your mercy and for your truth's sake. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Congregation and officers, respond. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Reverend Ray with our dedication prayer.
To my brothers and sisters, if we come to do this dedication to the Lord for your service, I'm reminded that the word of God comes from Psalm 100. It says to make a joyful noise, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Yes, sir.
Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, but sheep of his pasture.
Yes, sir.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful for him and bless his name.
Yes.
For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations.
Thank you, Lord.
That's those are marching orders from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Those are encouragement orders from the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, once again, we come to just say thank you. Lord God, we come for praise you. We come for adore you.
Yes,
we come for magnify you.
Yes,
Lord God, we recognize and realize who you are. Thank you for being God. Thank you, Lord God, for this every heartbeat, every activity
Jesus.
Of our world.
Thank you.
Lord God, fill for our head.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for time before for not being broken. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For being good.
Jesus.
And being good, Lord God.
Jesus.
We've been on Calvary.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, we're stressed wide. On high.
Yes, Lord.
On our behind.
Yes, Lord.
Wounded
for our
prosperity.
Yes, Lord.
Bruised for our misfortune.
Yes, Lord.
Chastised.
Oh, yes.
For our peace.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And with your stripes.
We are healed.
We have become healed.
Thank you, Lord.
For Lord God, wipe my hand. And for my hand of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us. Trust us, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, if we find Lord God for broken, British man and woman.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, God, we forgive us, but trump our mind, but
yes,
trump our heart, but God. But God, but we'll put a moment, one, probably one and two. I'm a simple man.
Yes, Lord.
But I'm a muscle of God.
Yes, Lord.
But that you've been ripped with bodies.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm a living sacrifice. Holy.
Holy.
I'm a supple. I'm for God. And my God, you said be my conform for this world.
Yes, Lord.
But be a platform by the moon of our mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, God, we pray, God, but believers will come to Sunday school. We'll come to Bible study.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll come to church. We'll witness.
Yes, Lord.
And testify.
Yes, Lord.
About you, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, God, we will activate our faith from you.
Yes, Lord.
We'll act with what I've trust in.
Yes, Jesus.
But what my faith was, not my fight. But God, give us an encouragement.
Yes, Lord.
But with blood. Take every valley.
Yes, Lord.
Every trial.
Yes.
Every tribulation.
Yes.
Every heart hurt. But God, be our shepherd. Be our guide.
Yes.
But God, be the balance.
Yes.
Of a fellow best.
Thank you, Lord.
But God, walk with us. Fill our cup up, Lord. Available us. Oh God, for walk by faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Available for trust.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Available for believe. But our work is not done.
Yes, Lord.
Until you come back.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, prepare our minds. Prepare our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
For good work. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
This is just a test of our faith.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you. I'm a prayer in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Anoint a flesh.
Yes, Lord.
By the word. Well, God, the word don't lie.
Thank you.
For right man, before the earth and the fair beginning.
Yes.
Seek and shall find.
Thank you.
Knock on the door of the open. For right man, Lord God, we follow your method. We call on you, Lord God.
Yes.
To bless us and all of us, Lord God, to go forth. From the beginning of 2000.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
For being in the name of peace.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you would be seated for just a minute. Our officers remain standing. Seated for just a minute. I'm going to ask Mrs. Rebecca Payne to come up for just a second. Rebecca Payne. You thought I forgot about you, didn't you?
No.
Rebecca has served as our superintendent of the Sunday school, and we want to present you with this certificate in appreciation for your service as church school superintendent of the Crossroad Baptist Church. So we present this to you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Very much.
Amen. God bless
you.
You
know, I just thank each and every one of my officers that was under me, Charlene Copeland, my assistant, and T. Boxdale, assistant secretary, and Charlene Preston, secretary, and all our teachers, and all of you all. Just thank you. We couldn't have did it without you all.
Amen.
And just pray that you would support our upcoming officers as well.
Amen. Okay.
Thank you. Amen. God be the glory.
Amen. The other officers can be seated at this time as we prepare for the communion.
As we prepare to partake in the Lord's Supper, has everyone been served? We need one over here. If you have not been saved, raise your hand. But the blood. Let us prepare now for the Lord's Supper. In the book of Corinthians, Paul talked about the Lord's Supper and how we are to partake in it. You know, we're going to take a moment and search our hearts. Make sure that we not bring condemnation unto our souls. So let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord, as we prepare to partake in the supper of the Lord, recognizing and understanding his death until he returned for his church without spot or wrinkle. Lord, we ask now that you would search our hearts. And Father, that unconfessed sin, Lord, we ask that it be cast out now. Remove far from us, O Lord, that we partake with a clean heart. Father, I ask now that you bless this wafer that represents the body of Christ that was hung on Calvary's cross. This blood that represents, this juice that represents the blood that was shed for the remission of mankind's sin. Lord, as we partake now, we ask, O God, that you may receive the glory. Was in the blessed name of Christ Jesus we pray. Let all the saints of God declare, amen. Paul told them, when Jesus broke the bread, he blessed them. And he told them to eat, this is my body. Let us do likewise. In the same manner, he took the cup, said, this is my blood that was shed for you. He told them to drink ye all of it. Let us do likewise. The Bible said they got up, went out to the Mount of Olives. They sung a hymn. We're going to ask everyone to stand.